Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're in the middle of July and the heat is hotter than Hawaii. Lava coming out of a volcano. Yes, it's summertime. We got midterm elections come up in November. And Donald Trump is not slowing down as president of the United States. He's not making Mr. Nice Guy either. He just told our NATO allies that they need to come up with their financial commitments. They need to pony up. He even went to told Germany's Prime Minister Merkel that, hey, you shouldn't be doing business with the Russians as they built, they're getting their energy from a pipeline that is being built that will connect Russia and Germany so they can get direct energy. And Trump let her have it on that. So a lot is going on. We're going to talk a little bit about Trump, but this week's show is we've been waiting for months now to hear Peter Strzok about what his comments were of all the text that he did with his cohort in the FBI, Lisa Page. And so he finally came to Congress, and that's why the title of this week's show is FBI's Peter Strzok Struts with a Smirk. And he did. He had a smirk, and he seemed to be strutting on stage, and he may have won the day. Why? Well, we're going to get into that and a little later in the show. But before we do, let's talk about one thing that could change, a wild card that could change the midterm elections. Have you heard of Congressman Clyburn? Do you know who Congressman Clyburn is? He's James Clyburn, a congressman from South Carolina. He's number three Democrat behind Marilyn Hoyer and, of course, Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi's been ruling the Democratic minority for an iron fist. People's called for her dismissal and a new leader. Democrats have called on many in Congress have called for a new leader, but not enough to oust Nancy Pelosi. So therefore, they want to win back the House and she'd be elected Speaker. But now there is some speculation that maybe she would give up give up leadership of the Democratic minority. Now, why would she do that? Well, she said she wasn't and probably won't. But there is speculation because, well, just last week she had a speech and where she's supposed to say she's had trouble speaking, words coming out, and she said the tax cut will add $2 trillion more. She used the word children instead of trillions or whatever she meant to say on about the national debt. But what came out was children. So is she physically and mentally able to lead the Democratic minority in the House if it becomes a majority, which the Republicans may allow if they don't get their act together for the midterm elections? But why would James Clyburn, he's number three, he's in his late 70s, Pelosi's in her late 70s, and Hoyer, the congressman from Maryland, who's the number two right behind Nancy Pelosi, why would he give up all he's worked for all his life, and he's in his late 70s? But why would they stress that Clyburn would be Speaker if Nancy Pelosi steps down? Well, the Democrats know the midterm elections have not been as historically have not been a big turnout for Democratic voters. But they realize when Barack Obama ran in 2008 and when he was running for re-election in 2012, the African-American turnout was astronomical. Therefore, they say we could make history saying James Clyburn will be the Speaker of the House if the Democrats take over the House of Representatives. And that would be history, and historical levels of African-American voters would be pushed to the polls is the thinking. Now, would that be good for the Democrats to have James Clyburn as the head of the House Democrats if they're a minority or a majority? I don't know. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of speculation rising on James Clyburn. He's not a well-known figure. He is in Democratic circles, but I'm talking about nationally known. He's not on TV a whole lot. And will that bring out the vote like a young Barack Obama did? Or will it look like the Democrats' bullpen is looking weaker and weaker because they're older and older? What happens to all the young Democrats, just like the one in New York, a socialist that upset who was possibly going to be the Speaker of the House if the Democrats were to win and Nancy Pelosi stepped down? Well, he's out now. He got beat in the primary by a socialist. So what does this mean going on within the Democratic Party? Until he got beat, James Clyburn was not in the picture. But now they're thinking, we have got to get more people to the polls, and we could put James Clyburn there and call him a bridge, or quote, bridge speaker. Now, I would be insulted if I was James Clyburn and they said, we're going to put you there for a bridge and we'll put you, and then get you back down and put somebody else up there. In fact, that seems a little insulting if they say, well, you're going to be there just for a little while and you need to know that on the front end. Well, so I don't know. But now that's something that Brock split in politics. We see things that maybe you don't catch, and that's why we're talking about that on this week's show. Watch James Clyburn. What do I think? I don't think it'll happen because I don't think Nancy Pelosi is going to give up her position unless she is forced by leaders in the party saying it's time to go, Nancy, because Republicans are getting too much momentum for you being in there. And I know in the past, there's a lot of times that the Republicans always try to tie the general election to Nancy Pelosi. And she is a figure that's raised a lot of money for Republicans and helped Republicans win. And there's a lot of Republicans want her to stay as head of the minority Democrats in the House and hope she stays in the minority. But there's a lot of speculation. And to me, it looks like desperation politics when you're talking about a bridge speaker just for a little bit of time, just to get people out to vote. And then, in fact, if that is what's happening, is that not using a person for the color of his skin to help get out the black vote and saying, you know, you can't stay here long. We don't want you here long. We just need you for a little while. That, to me, could be an insult. Maybe not. Maybe he wants to be speaker for a few days, months, or whatever they say. I don't think they're talking about years. But now that's something to watch. You heard it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. What did Donald Trump do? Well, let's listen to this clip right here of what had happened last week.
Germany is totally controlled by Russia because they were getting from 60 to 70% of their energy from Russia and a new pipeline. And you tell me if that's appropriate, because I think it's not. And I think it's a very bad thing for NATO, and I don't think it should have happened. And I think we have to talk to Germany about it. Germany is a captive of Russia because they supply. They got rid of their coal plants. They got rid of their nuclear. They're getting so much of the oil and gas from Russia. I think it's something that NATO has to look at. I think it's very inappropriate. You and I agree that it's inappropriate. I don't know what you can do about it now, but it certainly doesn't seem to make sense that they pay billions of dollars to Russia, and now we have to defend them against Russia.
Well, that was Donald Trump last week when he was in Europe. And I know State Department people and normal politicians, in the past, they say, no, you can't say that directly when you're at a NATO meeting. You cannot say that directly to a leader. You cannot say that, President Trump. That's why Donald Trump is different. For decades, America's paid more than a share of the financial burden of NATO. More than the share they should be paying to keep it going, to keep it top-notch. And Donald Trump is saying, no, I'm tired of it, and America's tired of it. And all the establishment say, no, don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, President Trump. And President Trump doesn't mind to get down to the truth and cut through all the BS and put out a truth that the truth gold nugget is the fact that many countries are not ponying up for their fair share of paying for NATO. And Donald Trump has said he's had enough. He's been talking about that even as a candidate. And now he's not backing down and telling a truth that hurts. And he's bringing it in the wide open. And not only that, he was hitting Germany. Said, here we are defending you, and you're making deals with the Russians, and it's making you more dependent on the Russians for your energy. Yeah, they've gotten rid of their nuclear power plants and other ways of energy so they can depend on Russia. Billions and billions of dollars in the deal. And Trump's just pointing out, hey, we're here protecting you, and you're making deals with who we're protecting you against. So Donald Trump's bringing that to the light, and people are saying, no, you can't say that. He did, and he's shaking things up. That's what the American people elected him to do. He goes in and shakes things up. It may not be the style everyone likes, but he puts the truth right before the people who need to hear it. Now, this week he's meeting in Helsinki before we've recorded this show, and I don't know what the Putin meeting will come out with. And we're aware that there was indictments last Friday and from the Department of Justice about 15 Russian spies who were meddling with the presidential election. And now we'll see what happens in Helsinki. Of course, as soon as that was brought out, there was a Senator Mark Warner from Virginia, I believe, came out and said, you know, we can't have this. Donald Trump needs to call off his summit with Putin in Helsinki. Well, why not talk to the guy if you want some answers? And that's where the Democrats are trying everything. Like I talked about floating the idea of James Clyburn being a Speaker of the House. To me, it's showing desperation when you got a senator saying, call off a summit. Well, how are you going to talk to Putin? You can talk to him directly, and Trump can share how mad he is. But the Democrats want to use everything to a political advantage, and we were seeing that. Well, we got to get on to this part of the show, what we're talking about, if the FBI's Peter Strutz with a smirk. And why? Well, we're about to get to that. First, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. We're glad to have you. We got new listeners. We appreciate you listening. Hey, go to our website and click on, you send me email. You can also tell your friends and neighbors about Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You'll hear things here that you won't hear anywhere else. Also, we got a website. You can order the book. Got chapters in a book about Israel that's new. We also got a book called Bedrock Truths. I say we because I wrote it for Dr. Alveda King and Dr. Alex McFarland. But Bedrock Truths, the conservatives need to know and stand for. So you can order that book right there on the website, Doc Holliday. It's www.docholliday.org. Holliday has two L's in it. And we appreciate the books that you're ordering. Now, second half of the show. Get ready. Take a listen to this first.
It's not a very long task, but there is a smirky bumper pop task.
Smirky bumper pop? Have you ever heard of that? I haven't really, but it just sounds like Peter Strzok when he was in front of Congress and answering questions. Smirky bumper pop. That's what I think we could call Peter Strzok, smirky bumper pop. That's exactly sounds what he was doing there in front of Congress. Yes, there were times when it got outrageous and Democrats were shouting and they were wanting a point of order and the chairman was trying to get the motions going. It really looked like a circus. And this is my feeling looking at everything. I feel like people like Trey Gowdy and others didn't get the answers that they wanted. One thing I remember, and again, you got to remember Peter Strzok is strutting for the cameras, smirking for the cameras. The Democrats are backing him up, and then the Republicans are trying to get answers. But you got to remember, he did over 10 hours, I believe, in closed-door sessions. And like Lisa Page, I heard Chairman Gowdy saying that, listen, if we can get 5 minutes in public or I can get 10 hours of nonstop questions behind closed doors, I want that 10 hours. And you need to understand that. So understanding that coming from Trey Gowdy, I am glad they've had closed door sessions that we can hear everything. And he's trying to get answers. And that's not necessarily the public answers are the ones that are important because he got 10 hours in closed door sessions. So I'm hoping they're getting more information. One of the reasons that Peter Strzok was there and Lisa Page was supposed to be in Congress before him to speak in closed door sessions before Peter Strzok. But because she said they weren't prepared, the lawyers wouldn't do it. Anyway, they waffled. And then they didn't have to pay a price. They waffled and came after Peter Strzok spoke last week so she could hear his testimony and make sure hers lined up. Not a good thing. Of course, that was his public testimony, and she may not have known everything he said in private other than the Democrats leaking it out. Don't know. But that's the thing that you need to understand. What we hear in public is not all the testimony when they go behind closed doors. But here, let's take a listen. I'm going to go ahead and play an extended 2 or 3 minutes here of Trey Gowdy and Peter Strzok strutting with a smirk. So take a listen from last week's congressional hearing.
From July the 31st until August the 8th. And I find it interesting that the FBI will tell us no interviews were conducted before July 31st. That apparently doesn't impact an ongoing probe. But between July 31st and August 8th, it does. Here's the good news. I already know the answer to it. I went and looked at the file. The first interview that I can find is on August the 11th of 2016, which is 11 days after it began. Which makes me wonder, on August the 6th, so you hadn't interviewed anyone, you're investigating this alleged Russian collusion with the Trump campaign, you're the lead investigator, you originated the investigation, you're the point of contact, you drafted the document, and here you are before you've interviewed a single solitary witness saying, F Trump. Then that same day, your colleague, Lisa Page, wrote, maybe you're meant to protect the country from that menace. And you responded, I can protect the country at many levels. We're not even a week into an investigation that you originated, approved, were the contact for. You hadn't interviewed a single solitary soul until August 11th. And you're already promising to protect the country from that menace, Donald Trump. And then on August the 8th, you still hadn't interviewed anyone. You're 8 days into your Russian collusion with the Trump campaign investigation, and you got another text from your colleague, Lisa Page. Trump's not ever going to become president, right? Right? And you replied, no. No, he's not. We'll stop it. By the time you promised to stop him from becoming president on August the 8th, how many interviews had you conducted?
Mr. Gowdy, so two answers to that. One, with regard to how many interviews had or had not been conducted, I've been directed by counsel for the FBI not to answer that question. Second, sir, I think it's important to take those texts in the context of how they were written and what they meant.
And someone may ask you that question, Agent Strzok, but I didn't. I asked you how many people you interviewed before you wrote it. If you want to get into context, let one of my other colleagues do that with you. Here's what I want to know. Who's the he and he's not?
He is then candidate Trump.
So when you said, no, Donald Trump's not, in connection with the question, going to become president, what's the it?
Chairman
Gotti. We'll stop it.
Chairman Gotti, that text needs to be taken in the context
Look, if you want to have a debate over a two-letter word, we're going to have to do that some other time. What and who did you mean by it?
Mr. Gowdy, as I've stated, that text was written late at night in shorthand.
I don't care when it was written. About. I don't care
it's
whether it was longhand, cursive. I don't care about any of that. I want to know what it meant, Agent Strzok.
It would be his candidacy for the presidency.
See, wasn't that
and
tough?
My sense that the American population would not vote him into office.
Right, right. Well, we hadn't gotten to the will yet.
Well, I'm trying to cut to the chase and explain the text.
The will is the American people. Is that right? That's your testimony. The will stop it. You were speaking on behalf of the American people. Is that correct?
Mr. Gowdy, what my testimony is and what I said during extensive asking of this question during my prior interview is I don't recall writing that text.
Are you denying writing the text?
What I can tell you is that text in no way suggested that I or the FBI would take any action to influence the candidacy
Agent Strzok, that is a fantastic answer to a question nobody asked.
Yeah, Mr. Gowdy, you asked
what I meant. My question to you is
Chairman,
the wheel.
Going to be permitted to answer the question
you
posed?
Smirky bumper pop. You see why I said smirky bumper pop? That sounds like Peter Strzok to me. And hear how the Democrats jumped in and said, hey, can he answer the question? And he wasn't answering Trey Gowdy's question. He was kept avoiding the question. So... And it really went downhill. It became like a circus, and it looks like Peter Strzok got away with being a smirky bumper pop. That's what it looks like he got away with. So where does that lead us? Well, you can listen to the conservative side, and it leaves us knowing that the House needs to go after getting all the information they're seeking from the Department of Justice. And there's still questions I'd like to know. I hadn't heard anybody ask. I don't know because I'm not a lawyer. But in all the shows you've been watching and everything, my question is there a statute of limitations? Is that what the Department of Justice is trying to do, is wait out a statute of limitations so that there won't be criminal charges brought against anybody as former or present FBI agents? If anybody has heard that, or why nobody's brought that up about the statute of limitations that may be playing out by holding out this information, drop me a line. Go to email and drop me a line. I'd appreciate any input on that, or if you heard it talked about on another show somewhere, because I have not heard anything, and I'm very concerned about that being a tactic to help delay things that nobody could ever be charged or prosecuted for any crimes that may have been committed. Now, when you talk about all this, it is a strange brew of things. Everything from Donald Trump, who is unhinged the Democratic Party, unhinged the leftist, unhinged the socialist. They have really become unglued, and they don't seek the truth as much as they seek getting back into power. It's like, we'll do whatever it takes to get back into power. And they mean it. They mean it. I remember back in 2006 when the midterm elections came up, and they had beat down George Bush. George W. Bush had been taking a beating in the press month after month, year after year, after he was reelected in 2004, and they made him seem like the devil himself. And the White House, this is one of the most mind-boggling things, but President Bush said, we're not going to fight back, we're going to act presidential, and they did not fight back against all the accusations, everything the press and the Democrats were throwing at him. They didn't try to fight back, and his popularity plunged. And therefore, the House and the Senate were in Republican hands in 2006, but the midterm election switched them both over to the Democratic hands. And a lot of it is because the popularity of George W. Bush sank, and they did everything they could to get back into power. And that's exactly what is going on now, except for it's in a more mean-spirited, a more crucial saying, we have got to do whatever it takes to get back to power. And that's exactly what's going on. And the Republicans better wake up and smell the coffee and go full speed ahead, because if they don't, they're going to have their head handed to them in a platter like George W. Bush did when he lost the Senate and the House in the midterm elections in 2006. So a word to the wise, it's going to get tough between now and November. And when the going gets tough, what is it? The tough get going. And I'm just putting that out. We cannot wait to November to start trying to run an election and try to keep the House and the Senate in conservative hands. I know you're going to say, well, it's not really conservatives when you look at Mitch McConnell and you look at Speaker Ryan, who is leaving. But if the Democrats get a hold of the House or the Senate, either one, Donald Trump won't get anything through that he wants. They'll have to compromise and do some things, but there's what's been happening and some good things happening, everything from the tax cut to cutting back on regulations, all these things that have been done, getting the economy going. When you talk about energy and exploring for more energy and all these things that are helping boost the economy, your Democrats get a hold of the Senate or the House, and then bills aren't going to make it through. They will not make it through. And even now, we need more help. So this election is very pivotal about the direction America is going. We got one judge on the Supreme Court, Gorsuch, has done a great job. We got Kavanaugh that has been nominated and getting him through. It may help sway the election one way or the other. How much fight are the Democrats going to have? But all this is hanging in the balance in November. And you better believe the leftists know it. The socialists know it. The Democrats know it. And they won't power back no matter what it takes. And when you understand that, you realize the pickle the Republicans are in, and they must get out and get the base. Are enjoying this economy for the first time in years to say there is a reason why, and you better get out and vote if you want to keep it going. So those are the things that, to me, all this questioning about what Peter Strzok is saying, I want the truth. I want to be dug down and get to the truth. But the Democrats are trying everything to keep it slow down to after the election. And where's Mueller and all this? I hope he's a patriot and says it's time to get this over with before it messes with the midterm elections. So that's Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. Appreciate you listening to us this week. And believe me, the rocks are going to keep on splitting. And we're looking at politics from all over. But we'll see what Trump says in Helsinki. We'll talk about that next week and so much more. So listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. Tell your friends and neighbors. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit DocHolliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.